Good morning, Lambrick. This morning, Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to invite you to turn with me to what might seem like an unusual passage for today, or maybe for any day. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae. The part that, if you're looking in your Bible, there's a heading, it probably says, Final Greetings. And although it would be and often is easy to skip or skim passages like this, as irrelevant for us, I mean, honestly, why does it matter that Tychicus sends his greetings to the Colossians? There's something beautiful for us here if we'll listen. There's something that seems incredibly fitting on a day like today, something deeply inspiring and encouraging. So as we turn together to Colossians 4, 7 to 18, let's pray. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the God that was at work among the Colossians, who inspired and spoke through Paul to their life, God, we ask that you would speak through Paul's writing to us today. Give us ears to hear your voice, Lord. Amen. Can I invite you to stand with me as we read from this passage this morning, Colossians 4, 7 to 18. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. I'll admit, this is an odd passage, and it is an odd thing, even not good Bible reading practice, to read or study a passage like this without reference to all that's gone before it. Obviously, clearly, Paul has said so much to the Colossians in this letter, and this final greeting in no way touches on the real substance of the letter. But they do touch on something very real, these verses. Something very real for the Christians in Colossae and for us, women and men seeking to follow Jesus here in Victoria and the South Island. And let me just get at it by way of a question. And it's this. Do you ever feel alone in your pursuit of life with God? Do you ever feel alone in your pursuit of life in Christ? Maybe you're new to all this. Maybe you sneak in here week after week by yourself and you're sure no one notices or even cares. Maybe you've been a part of this church for a long while. You've been with us through many seasons, longing for change in your life and soul, and you feel alone, tempted to fear that you don't have what it takes to really make it in the long haul in Christ. Well, if that's you, I want you to know something. You're not the only one in the room who resonates with it right now. But I'm sure also the Christians in Colossae felt the same way at times. Maybe as they read Paul's letter to them, they felt this. Which is why the closing part of this letter, Colossians 4, 7 to 18, the final greetings, is so important for us as it was for them. Because in and through this seemingly scattered random list of greetings from people almost entirely unknown to us, but known to the Colossians, God, through Paul, was saying to the Christians in Colossae, don't be afraid, because you are not alone. You're not alone in your pursuit of life in Christ. You're not alone in your battle for life with God. In the sovereign, mysterious grace of God, their faith in Christ, the Christians in Colossae, their life in Christ, their faithfulness to Christ was not something for which they alone were seeking, but something for which many were seeking and praying and laboring and even sacrificing. They weren't alone in their pursuit of Christ and life in Him. Tychicus was laboring for them in their faith. Onesimus was concerned for them and coming to them. Epaphras was working hard for them and praying for them constantly, wrestling in prayer on their behalf, that they might stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Paul himself was praying for them, sacrificing for them. They weren't alone in their faith. Others were seeking God for them and seeking them for God. Amidst the seemingly irrelevant bits and pieces of this concluding portion of Paul's letter, we need to hear this, because this isn't just what was going on for the Christians in Colossae. This is what is going on for us. This is the case for us. This is the truth of our lives and of the life of this church as we mark our 50th year and remember all that's gone on before us. I love how most of the names that Paul mentions here have little to no resonance for us. Archippus, Tychicus, Aristarchus, Jesus called Justus. These aren't household names for us. I doubt if any of you, when I mentioned Tychicus, had a fond memory that came to mind. There's no church down the road called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre of the Saint Aristarchus, right? Other than Luke and possibly Mark, few of these names even ring a bell for us. They're not the big names that we think of when we think of the early church and its growth. They're not people we know much about, which is unfortunate in a way, but it's also beautiful. Beautiful because this is the way that God works. This is the reality of how grace comes to be with us. I can see this in my own life. Some of you would know I'm a journaler. I have a stack in my bedroom right now of journals. It always strikes me how tall it is because I've been journaling for so long. Which means I often think back on my life, reflect on my life, try to pay attention to things. And the more I have walked that road over the years, the more I've walked with Christ, the more I have become incredibly aware that I am where I am and who I am, not solely because of my faith and faithfulness, but because of the grace of God revealed through a multitude of others who have shared Christ with me. Who have modeled Christ to me, who have prayed for me, mentored me directly and indirectly, who have encouraged me, taught me, listened to me, embraced me, befriended me, even rebuked me. Their faith and faithfulness has formed and undergirded my faith, supporting and nurturing my faith in Christ and my faithfulness to Christ. And just like the Colossians had, I have my own list of names. My own Tychicus, my own Epaphras, my own Aristarchus, names unknown to probably most of you, but who've had an indelible influence on the growth and sustaining of my faith. One name that easily could be forgotten that I've been thinking about this week is the hidden faithfulness of my friend Kelly's grandmother, Mrs. Doreen Finn. Mrs. Finn passed away a few years ago after a long life of ordinary faith and faithfulness. But when I was one of the young punks in my youth group, the grandparent types in our church, my church at that time, decided to each adopt a member of the youth group and pray for them for 1 year. And Mrs. Doreen Finn chose me,
or got stuck with me, I don't know, and committed to pray for me regularly. And she did, but not just for that year, for years to come. What a gift to have someone whom I hardly knew care deeply about God's work in my life and commit to be on her knees for me regularly. She was asked to pray for me for 1 year, and she prayed for me on and through my adult years. I remember being in grad school receiving a letter from Mrs. Finn saying, "I want you to know, I still pray for you every day." I don't know how. I don't know how Mrs. Finn's prayers impacted me, but I know that my faith in Christ is not solely the result of my prayers and faithfulness. My faith has been nurtured by the faith and faithfulness of people like Mrs. Doreen Finn. And Dan Anderson and Eddie Payne. Dan is not my cousin, just bear the same last name. Two guys who, when I was in grade 8, they were grade 12 guys in my high school. They also went to my church. They were my youth leaders. They loved Jesus passionately. We went to a high school that was very secular, not many Christians at all, and these two guys just like, they bleeded Jesus. I mean, their life with Christ was so at the core of who they were. And they longed for others to know Christ. We had a smoke hole in the back of the school property, and their friends would be back there smoking weed in the bushes or smoking Du Maurier in front of them. And they'd pull the truck up, this old dumpy truck, and back it in and stand on the back. And I don't recommend this. They would stand back there and preach like Hyde Park sermons out to their friends and pray for their friends. A little bit freaky, but they were not freaky. They were so beautifully alive with Jesus, and people were drawn to Eddie and Dan. And here I am, an awkward grade 8 kid who's trying to find my way in the cafeteria, and Dan and Eddie, these two vibrant high school seniors, decide that they're going to take me out to lunch every 2 weeks. Pick me up in that cafeteria. My parents knew and trusted them, so this isn't just odd. We'd drive down to the beach. This is in White Rock. Go to Fish and Chips and Moby Dick's. And they would just ask me questions and speak into my life and mentor me and pray for me. And even beyond high school, in university, I'd get a call. Actually, when I was in university, Dan was doing some grad studies, some TESOL certificate to teach English as a learned language to others, and Eddie would grab me and take me out for lunch and speak into my life. Dan started a carpet cleaning business, still hunt me down, speak into my life. As I think back on those times, I cannot remember a single conversation we had, a topic, an answer, but I know that my faith in Christ today is not solely the result of my prayers and faithfulness. My faith has been nurtured, fed, sustained by the faith of Mrs. Doreen Finn and Dan Anderson and Eddie Payne and Dave and Joe Ani and Carol and Lauren Torium. Those are two more I want to tell you about. Two couples who were both friends of my parents and parents of my friends, who over the years gathered as a home group again and again and gathered as friends when that home group scattered and gathered together to care for each other and to talk about their teenage kids, me and my brother and their kids, to pray together for one another, to pray together for their kids, me, my brother, Mike, and others. None of them will ever be keynote speakers at a Christian conference. None of them will ever have a church named after them. I don't know of a Saint Laurentorium cathedral anywhere. But I know that God used them to nurture my faith, to bless me. Through their prayers, through their modeling, and through the fact that Lauren was also one of my Sunday school teachers when I was in grade 4. I could list off so many names. Names that you have no familiarity with. Unsung, unseen pioneers, forerunners, encouragers of my faith. There's so many. My parents, my grandparents on both sides. A camp counselor named Cuba, that was his camp name. I have no idea what Cuba's real name was. I need to hunt it down. I almost went on Facebook this morning to go hunting, but I don't know his name. So, John O. Epp, Darren Wilkes, Tim Fodor, my My university years pastor, Roger Huizinga, who was supposed to be here last Sunday to speak, but wasn't able to come the last minute. His mother, Helen Huizinga, Greg Willette, Riley and Vanessa Hamburg. So many names that you don't know. Steve Brown, who spoke to us last Sunday. My wife, Janet Anderson. Most of those names mean nothing to you. Hopefully Janet will mean something to you. Just like Epaphras and Tychicus and Aristarchus may mean nothing to you. But there are some names that mean something to you, aren't there? Amidst the unfamiliarity of the names in the closing portion of Paul's letter, this beautiful reality rings out to us. That the Christians in Colossae were not alone. Far away in the place of Paul's imprisonment, there were many who loved them and cared for them. Men and women who were seeking God for them, even laying down their lives for them. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel bearing fruit in them. I was reminded of this morning, I got a note from my friend Tim McCarthy, who thought today was my commissioning. Misread the email. But he said, I want you to know I'm praying for you and for your church today. You guys don't know Tim. He's praying for you today. Paul's closing words in this letter affirm this all the more so. Colossians 4, verse 18, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Remember my chains. There are many ways we could think of about what Paul intended by saying this, but we can't get away from the simple fact that Paul's chains, Paul's imprisonment, was for one reason, and one reason only, for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, getting to and bearing fruit in places like Colossae and Laodicea and Philippi and down through the centuries in Gordon Head and Victoria and beyond. In a very real sense, the grace and faith that any of us experience, our knowing and experiencing the reality of Paul's benediction, grace be with you, is only possible because of the self-giving and the sacrifice of Jesus that has inspired and empowered the self-giving and the sacrifice of Christians like Epaphras and Aristarchus and Paul. Is it not incredible and humbling to know that down through the centuries and in our own day and in our own 50 years as a church, all across the world and in this very room, countless Christian women and men have abandoned their own self-serving lives and have sacrificed themselves so that we might stand here today in Christ. That this Thanksgiving would be more than just thankfulness that we live in a beautiful place, but that we live in a beautiful God who has given himself for us. It's the gospel that God loves the world that he has made. And though our hearts have all turned from him, he has not turned from us. He has come after us, giving himself for us. And by his grace, he brings his life into people, like so many of you. And he breathes that gospel through the lives of others, compelling them, by God's love, to lay down their lives for us. To pray for us, to give of themselves for us, and to do it in us for others. We are all here in Christ, not simply because of our own faith and faithfulness, but because of that of others. Women and men who have prayed for us and still are praying. Others who have sacrificed for us. Others who have spoken when they could have been silent. Others who've listened when they could have blown us off. Because of everyday saints like Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus, and Mark and Epaphras and Luke and Mrs. Dorian Finn and Dan Anderson and Eddie Payne and Dave and Joe Ani and Carol Laurentorium and countless others. It's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to stand at the start. Not just because we were reading scripture, but there's something in me that feels like we should stand when we list off names like this to honor the lives of those who've laid down their life in Christ for us. So what names come to mind for you? Who has sacrificed for you? Who's given of themselves for you? Who are your unsung, unseen, faithful, ordinary, spiritual heroes, pioneers, encouragers of your faith? Some of them are probably in this room, and I love that. And I want you not to just scroll it off in your mind. I want us to speak it out. Can some of us name some names? We don't need stories right now, but let's just call out some names. Those whom God has used. Those through whom we have come to experience something of God's grace. Speak it out. Jean Hersom. Thanks, Marie. Helen. Joan Williams. Jerry Brower. Pat Hildebrand. Helen Blankenborg. Roy Haas. Mimi Davis. Clayton and Isabel Dugan. At the same table. It's awesome. Lynn Moreland. Linda Jarvie. Who's that? Richard and Karen. Karen Bogle. Bernie Doyle. Don't know Bernie yet. Denise. Glenn Kyle. Deb Morris. Marg Nickel. The Zerkowskis, yes. Marilyn Jones. One more. Harvey Hersom. That's right. I asked around this week. I heard some names. I heard someone say Catherine Burgess, Devin Dyer, Wendy Brower, and Jerry. Peter Hildebrand. Carol Smith. I heard someone say Mimi. I heard someone say Scott Davis, too. Matt Laird. Rosemary and Jeff Gaunt. Sandy Hess. Tom and Denise Aspen. There's so many names. Oh, you're jumping in here. Amen. Don and Karen Crawford. That's right, someone else had said Karen to me. In the midst of the obscurity of the names on Paul's list, when you all stood earlier and thought, what does this have to do with us? This has everything to do with us, right? We are reminded that we are saved by grace, by the grace of God, by a grace that most often is embodied and communicated, revealed and mediated to us by the life and prayers and friendship and sacrifice of God's people. In the grace of God, we don't just have a book. And I, in no way by saying just, want to minimize the gift of the Spirit to us in the voice of Scripture. But we don't just have a book. We have a community that the Spirit is breathing upon and through which God continues to reach out to us and build us up in Christ. This Thanksgiving and far beyond, we have much to be thankful for, don't we? Much to lead us forward with hope for God's grace to meet us in the coming days. Let me end with this. I'll invite Simon and the crew to come up, and they're going to lead us in our benediction song. I'm always struck with how Paul, I mean, this is kind of his common language, but in Colossians specifically, his greeting, which is a common greeting, is he says, grace be with you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. That's Paul's greeting at the beginning of his letter. In his closing words, remember my chains, grace be with you. And in between these two words of blessing, he names a community through whom we come to know the grace of God. Can we stand together and pray? Let's invite you to turn to God and speak within yourself your own thankfulness. Maybe there's names that come to mind that you want to thank God for now, and then I'll thank God for us together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you together that the gospel is real, that it is true. And though every one of us wrestles with it deeply and often, we have all around us right here and far beyond evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord, that your life and death and resurrection means something for our world today as you bring your life to women and men like us and those beside us. Lord, rip off the veil that makes us think it's normal to encounter your grace in the life of another. We thank you today for those in whom you have lived your life in front of us. Those who have labored and prayed and given themselves to you in ways that have borne your fruit in us. Thank you for your living, life-giving grace. And thank you for the hope we have today as each of us feels the parts of us that is deeply fractured and broken and sinful, that your grace can continue to take us more deeply into you. To claim us and make us the kind of people who end up on a list for someone else. The means of your grace for another. We pray for those among us here today who feel uniquely in need. We ask that by your Spirit, you would turn us toward one another today in the coming days. You would make us the means of your presence for the life of one another, God. Amen.